Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Crime with Holly. I'm your host, Crimeholly. Before I dive into the details of today's case, I do want to just give a quick update on the upcoming trial for Corey Richens. If you haven't listened to my episode on her husband, Eric Richens, I will link that in the description of this episode so you can just get caught up and be in the know. But her trial is rapidly approaching, and according to what they're saying currently, jury selection will begin the final week of April for the case. Of course, that can always change, but I wanted to just keep you guys in the loop about all of that. As things get closer, I will continue to share the updates. Right now, I do know that her legal team and the prosecution are going back and forth about some evidence that the defense claims was illegally obtained, which includes that infamous walk the dog letter. I do plan to watch the day-to-day coverage on that case if it is televised live on Court TV, and I do plan to give you guys like the updates every single day after court. I just haven't quite figured out the logistics of how I'm going to do that yet. I also want to give a quick shout out to some of my podcast friends. I have to say that the community of true crime podcasters is absolutely incredible. The amount of support and love from fellow podcasters in the same genre is a huge reason why I keep going. So over the next several episodes, I will just be giving brief shout outs to some of my friends who you guys should go and check out as well. This week, I want to spotlight Heather and Rachel from Like Mother, Like Murder. These two girls have been kicking butt at their podcast for, I think, over 2 years now. I became friends with them when I had my old podcast, and I have watched them continue to grow and learn, and it's just been such a fun thing to watch. Both are extremely amazing humans that work so hard to advocate for victims and to give them a voice. Their podcast has the right amount of good banter and a whole lot of love and passion. So make sure you go and check them out wherever you listen to your podcasts. And lastly, I just want to give a brief warning for today's episode as it does involve domestic violence. So without further ado, let's get into the details of the brutal murder of Holly Gazzard. On July 24th, 1993, Nick and Mandy Gazzard welcomed their second baby girl into the world a whole month earlier than they had anticipated. They named this sweet little 5-pound baby Holly Rebecca Gazzard and had to run out and buy baby clothes because she was just so teeny tiny that newborn clothes didn't even fit her. Holly was their second child, and she had an older sister named Chloe. Chloe and Holly had a very close relationship, and Holly's father, Nick, describes Holly as the type of person that everyone loved. To know her was to love her. He also described his daughter as being that beautiful and vibrant young lady who lit up the room with her smile. In her obituary, Holly is described as being energetic, vibrant, vivacious, independent, social, and easy to love. Holly was very active in sports growing up and always wanted to try out new sports. She was always up for a new challenge. It seems like everything that she tried, she usually excelled at. Like many young women, Holly was also interested in all things beauty. Whether it be makeup, hair, fashion, she was always up to date with the latest trends. But her true passion was hair, and she wanted to pursue becoming a hairdresser. At the age of just 17 years old, Holly got herself into an apprenticeship to become a hairdresser and quickly became a qualified level 3 stylist. While going through her apprenticeship, Holly enjoyed trying new hairstyles for herself and would often come home with a new hair color or cut after a day's worth of work. Her father kind of laughed about this in an interview I watched with him. He said they never knew what Holly was going to come home looking like because she was always constantly changing her hair color. From the pictures that I have seen of her, there wasn't a hair color or hairstyle that didn't look amazing on Holly. She truly was just so beautiful with her megawatt smile and big blue eyes. Holly was incredibly ambitious, and once she achieved her goal of becoming a hairdresser, she wanted even more. And one of the big things that she had dreamed about was traveling. After sitting down with her father, Nick, and brainstorming ideas on how she can pursue her dreams of traveling while continuing her passion as a hairdresser, they came up with the amazing idea that Holly could get a job working on a cruise ship. Now, let me just say, I have never been on a cruise in my entire life. It is on my bucket list. But how did I not know that they actually have a hair salon on the cruise ship where you could go and get your hair done on vacation? I knew they had like manis and pedis, but I never would have dreamed that they had hair as well. And her dad came up with this idea of pairing her passion with her dream to travel, and she thought it was absolutely brilliant. Holly applied for the position on the cruise ship, and she got the job. Leading up to her departure, she let go of her position at the hair salon so someone else could take it and take on the clients, and she picked up another job working at a local bar and nightclub called Zest, and she worked there in the evenings to save up for her trip. It was shortly after starting at Zest that Holly met a local man by the name of Asher Moslin in February 2013. Asher was a 21-year-old regular at the nightclub, and he worked as a security guard in Gloucester. The moment he laid eyes on Holly, he was taken aback by her and immediately started trying to pursue her. For several days, Asher was persistent in complimenting Holly and trying hard to get her number so that he could take her out. Holly was flattered and eventually gave in to his charm and gave him her number. It wasn't long before the two had their first date, and Holly was really into Asher. He was charming, funny, fun to be around, and she just really liked that about him. She even confided in her friends that she was really into this guy, but she did say that he was coming on pretty strong. He was adamant that he wanted her to be his girlfriend and he wanted to make things official. Holly was drawn in, I think, pretty much from the start, and so they let this quick friendship blossom into something more. At first, everyone was very supportive of this new relationship. Holly seemed over the moon happy. She was smiling more, talked about how much she liked this guy, and how well they clicked. And Asher treated her really well, and her friends just wanted Holly to be happy and wanted what was best for her. Holly and Asher quickly fell in love, and by the time that they were exchanging I love yous, they were spending any and all free time together. Holly felt like it was time to introduce him to her parents, and so she invited him over for dinner. Right off the bat, Holly's mom, Mandy, recognized Asher. She knew him from the local school where she had been working in the dining facility, and she knew Asher to be somewhat of a cocky bad boy. But Mandy and Nick wanted to give their daughter's new boyfriend a chance, and so proceeded with dinner as if they knew nothing about him. Nick said in an interview that Asher seemed to be very full of himself. He was overly confident, and he had the gift of the gab. But once more, Holly seemed happy. Come April 2013, Holly and Asher had been dating for 2 months, and Holly's 9-month cruise ship position was approaching quickly. She was still very much looking forward to things, but Asher, on the other hand, did not want her to go. And I think that this is when things in their relationship and his behaviors started to shift. Holly was this vivacious girl with dreams and plans and was a complete go-getter. Asher didn't like that he couldn't control that despite his endless amounts of trying. To him, Holly was his possession, and he didn't like the feeling of losing control of her. The more control he tried to take, the more her friends started to realize that this relationship was going in the wrong direction. Despite Holly having this relationship, she was set on going on this cruise ship, and she set sails mid-April 2013. Holly documented her travels on Instagram and seemed to be doing well the first several days. But after a week on the ship, Holly started to feel regret over her decision. Holly called home and begged her dad to arrange for her to catch a flight home. And this came as a shock to everyone who knew Holly. Leading up to her leaving, she was just so excited about it. And to hear that she had had a complete change of heart took everyone by surprise. Holly talked to a few of her friends who tried to encourage her to stay a little longer and keep giving the cruise ship a shot. But Holly was set on coming home. Her father just wanted to support her and didn't want her to be unhappy with her decision, so he helped book a flight for her home. But it was obvious that something was pulling Holly back, and she had it in her mind that she was going to come home. Holly's parents and friends fully believed that Asher bombarded Holly with phone calls and text messages while she was away, and that he quickly broke her down and made her question everything until she finally decided she needed to come home. But when Holly gets back to Gloucester, things didn't go back to the way that they were before she left, and the distance and time apart made the real Asher Moslin come out.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When 20-year-old Holly Gazzard came home from what should have been a 9-month job on a cruise ship, she expected her life to go back to normal. But instead, when she got home, her boyfriend of just a few months had changed. A switch had been flipped, and he was now more possessive and controlling than ever. And at first, I don't think Holly thought much of it or even realized that his behaviors were overbearing. But as she started to try and live her life and see her girlfriends again, it became blindingly obvious that he didn't want to share her with anyone. Holly had made plans to meet up with a couple of her friends for a night out at the nightclub where they planned to have some drinks and catch up. And while at the nightclub, Asher was constantly texting her, asking her where she was, who she was with, and what she was doing. He ended up showing up at the nightclub completely uninvited and stood outside watching Holly through the window, and he was angry. He didn't like seeing that she was out having a good time when he wanted her at home with him. Holly confronted Asher and he demanded that she left with him, and he wouldn't take no for an answer. But Holly stood firm and told him, "No, I'm having fun with my friends." I'm not sure if he left after this, but Holly and her girlfriends continued about their night. Eventually, they moved to a different bar and were laughing and having a good time, and to their surprise, Asher would randomly appear again. Once more, he tried to pick a fight with Holly, demanding that she leave. Her friends were obviously worried about her and the relationship, and rightfully so. But she just brushed it off, saying he's just being a jerk, everything was okay. But she did make the decision to end their evening out early because Asher completely ruined the night. While Holly played it off like it wasn't a big deal and things were fine, her parents were also starting to notice things being off with their daughter. When she would arrive back home from spending time with Asher, she always seemed off. She was more moody, maybe a bit more agitated and annoyed with everything. And this attitude would last about an hour or so, and then she would get back to her normal chipper self. And this was happening so frequently that the only logical explanation for her moods and behaviors that her family came to was that it was because of Asher and the things that were happening between them. A few weeks after being back from her job on the cruise ship, Holly randomly made the decision to move to London, and she got a job working at a hair salon in Edgware. Asher had a cousin that lived in London, and instead of letting Holly go to London alone, of course he wouldn't let that happen, he instead talked Holly into moving in with his cousin, and he would go to London and move in as well. Once more, manipulating and controlling the situation to better benefit himself. I think Holly was hopeful that getting out of Gloucester would be a fresh new start for her and Asher, but that was not the case, and his controlling behavior continued. Over the months, Holly's family would travel to London from Gloucester to visit her, and on one of the occasions, her family took Holly out for lunch. Asher was invited to go as well, but for whatever reason, he didn't. Holly made excuses for why he wasn't there, saying he wasn't feeling well, and whether that is true or not is unknown. But while she was out with her family, Asher kept calling. Her father, Nick, could overhear Asher on the phone telling Holly, "Don't let them take you away from me." He was clearly threatened that her family came to see her and was worried that somehow they would convince her to go home. Asher clearly liked that he was able to get Holly in London all to himself and hated the thought of her friends and family trying to draw her home. People who are abusive often try to isolate their victims from their friends and families, and it seems like that was exactly what Asher was trying to do. And in a sense, he was succeeding. Holly was over 100 miles away from home. She didn't have many friends or people she knew in London. She was left with just him. On May 18th, 2013, Holly and Asher traveled back to Gloucester to have a dinner out with her family to celebrate her mom's birthday. Holly was so happy to be home, and she even posted pictures on her Instagram of herself and her dad at the restaurant. While out to dinner, Asher started to drink, and usually when he was around Holly's family, he turned on his charm and tried to woo them. But as he started to consume alcohol, that chipper, happy-go-lucky mask started to slip, and he began showing his real self. As the night progressed and Asher became more drunk, he started being aggressive towards the waitstaff, he was aggressive towards other patrons of the restaurant, and of course, he was being awful and abusive with his words towards Holly. Her father, Nick, recalls in an interview how Asher was treating Holly like she was a piece of trash, talking to her as if she was a child, and it was clear he didn't have respect for his daughter. At some point during the family gathering, Asher gets up and goes outside, and this is when her family tries to talk to Holly in private. They wanted to know if she was okay. She told them that she was fine, nothing was wrong, and that Asher just sometimes gets like that when he drinks. Her dad told her that if she ever needed anything or wants to come home, don't hesitate to ask, and that they are there for her no matter what. And she just said that she's fine, there's no problem, and the following day, Holly and Asher went back to London. But what Holly and her parents didn't know is that Asher had a very dark past. In the 6 years before meeting Holly, Asher had been arrested 23 times for a variety of offenses, including domestic violence, criminal damage, possession of Class A drugs, and theft, according to a BBC.com article. Asher had at least two intimate partners that he was physically abusive towards, but those victims refused to press charges against him because they were in fear of his retaliation. Holly had no idea that she was dating a violent monster that should have never been allowed to continue to walk the streets when she met him in February 2013. In August 2013, over the bank holiday weekend, Holly attended the Notting Hill Carnival with Asher and his friends and family. Now, this carnival is a yearly thing that happens in London, and it's to celebrate Caribbean heritage, arts, and culture, and it's a pretty big weekend event that approximately 2 million people attend. There's live music, dancing, and of course, lots of food. But with it being so popular and crowded with people, it's easy to get separated from those you're attending with. And that is exactly what happened with Holly and Asher. They got separated in the crowd of people. This set Asher into a panic, and he frantically started to call Holly, trying to get through, but she didn't answer. As the minutes ticked by and he couldn't find her, he grew very angry. 5 minutes pass and Holly finds Asher again, and he explodes, pushing her so hard that she falls to the ground. He was demanding to know where she was, who she had been with, and what she had been doing. But Holly had only taken Asher's little nephew to the bathroom, trying to be helpful. But that didn't matter to Asher. The damage was done. He was livid. This was a turning point for Holly. She was absolutely devastated to have this man that she loved and deeply cared for put his hands on her. She didn't know what to think or feel, but she was utterly heartbroken. After the carnival, Holly called her dad and asked him to pick her up and told him that she wanted to come home. He did what any parent would do and dropped everything to go and get her. Everyone was just so excited to have Holly home and for things to hopefully get back to normal for her. She moved into the family home with her parents and was back to her happy self. Holly got a job at a new salon, and her coworkers really looked up to her. Holly had a ton of knowledge and experience, and she really mentored her coworkers and helped them learn the techniques that she was best at. But while Holly was settling back in at home in Gloucester, Asher also packed up his belongings in London and moved back in with his mom. However, even though Holly had left Asher behind in London, when she moved back to Gloucester, she still kept in contact with him through text messages. Holly was so torn on what she wanted. She knew that the relationship wasn't in her best interest, but like a typical abuser, Asher was love bombing her and trying to draw her back in. It's hard to know for sure what Holly's thought process was, but those closest to her speculate that Holly never completely cut Asher off because she was scared about what he would do or how he would react. And in typical abuser behavior, anytime that Holly started to pull back again, Asher would show up at her work with things that he had bought for her. He would whisk her away for weekend getaways, and he would make promises to her about how he was going to change and groveling for her forgiveness. But he was still acting possessive and controlling. He would show up at the end of the day at the salon and wait for Holly while she and her coworkers cleaned up and closed down for the night. He always wanted to know what she was doing and who she was talking to. And while at home with her family, he would be non-stop calling and texting her. It got so bad that Holly would have to turn her cell phone off at night just to go to sleep because he was constantly messaging her. Even though all of this was going on, Holly really kept things to herself and never confided in anyone. When people would make comments to her and ask her if she was okay, she always said that things were fine and chalked it up to being nothing. But come December 2013, after dating Asher for 10 months, those closest to Holly started to see a major shift in her behavior. The once happy-go-lucky girl was now more closed off than ever. She became very quiet and withdrawn and just appeared to have the weight of the world on her shoulders. It all became too much for Holly, and she finally confided in her dad, telling him that she didn't want the relationship with Asher anymore. He encouraged her to end things with him, and she said that she would. Her father, Nick, also offered to get involved if she needed help, but she promised him that she could take care of it herself. Between January and February 2014, Holly tried on several occasions to end the relationship with Asher Moslin, but he wouldn't let go and he wouldn't take no for an answer. Holly had had enough, and she had also told her girlfriends that she was so ready to be done with the relationship, and she just wanted Asher to leave her alone so that she could get on with her life and get back to being her strong and independent self. Finally, on Valentine's Day 2014, Holly made the decision to go out in a public place with Asher and officially break things off once and for all. They met at a restaurant that was busy with couples out celebrating Valentine's, and she just laid it out there for him. She told him that she was done, there's nothing more that he could do or say that will change her mind, and he obviously did not take this well. Asher started yelling at Holly, causing a scene in the middle of the restaurant. He told her that he was going to kill himself. He threw a glass of water in her face, screaming that she needed water for her cold, black heart. And when she walked out of the restaurant to leave, he followed her out to her car. He got inside of her car, stole her wallet, and then he ran across the street to an ATM machine where he withdrew £300 from her bank account. As the night went on, Asher's text messages that he sent to Holly only became more threatening and violent. He wrote to her, "I am going to come to your house and I'm going to smash your house up." In another text, he said, quote, "It's Asher. Give me a ring now or this bat is going to hit your dad's head," end quote. The following day, February 15th, Holly contacted the police and she reported the harassing text messages as well as the stolen money. When the police came to take Holly's statement, she laid everything out, telling them all about the horrible things that he had done and said. This is the first time that her family had heard about the horrifying abuse that she had been through. She told them that he had kicked her, he had pushed her, and more. She also admitted to the police that the threats against her had been going on for a long time. Asher had threatened to throw acid in her face to ruin her good looks and her career, and he threatened beating her if she broke up with him. The threats, like I said, just went on and on. And her family was just so shocked to hear all of this because Holly had hid it all from them, and she never spoke of anything that she had been through. According to the Belfast Telegraph, police tried to arrest Asher on the night of February 15th for harassing and stealing money from Holly. They stopped off at his mom's and grandma's house, but they were unable to locate him because he had gone to London and was on a drinking and a cocaine binge. When Asher learned that Holly had reported him and the police were looking for him, he went ballistic and he sent a text message to Holly saying, quote, "Ring my phone or call. I don't want to get effing violent as I will take it too far," end quote. On February 18th, Asher goes back to Gloucester and visits a place called Cash Converters. And this place is like a pawn shop. From my understanding, they buy and sell things. And he took a DVD player and he sold it to them for £5. In CCTV footage of Asher at this Cash Converters, you can tell he is agitated. He argued with the staff there, he can be seen throwing his arms around, and his entire body language just looks very angry from the moment he walked into the store. From the Cash Converters, Asher then went to a different store where he purchased a 12-inch kitchen knife for £3. At around 6 p.m., Asher is caught on CCTV footage walking towards the salon where Holly worked. Earlier that day before her shift, Holly talked to her boss and just let her know that things were not going very well, and she told her that Asher is wanted by police for harassment and threats, and if he turns up, to immediately call the authorities. Her boss, Sean, reassured her that she wouldn't cause a scene if he came in, and she would just immediately phone police. At around 6:30 p.m., Asher arrived at the salon. Sean greeted him and turned to go towards the back of the salon where she was going to call the police. Holly was in the back as well, working on a client's hair. When she heard Asher's voice at the front, she decided that she was going to try and keep things calm and walk to the front of the salon and ask him to leave politely. And that is when he grabbed her by the arm and the attack began. Asher violently stabbed Holly 14 times, with the attack lasting less than 2 minutes before he fled the scene. Patrons of the salon tried to stop him, but it was too late. After fleeing, Asher dumps the knife and changes his clothes before hopping into a taxi. Back at the scene, efforts to save Holly were being performed by police and EMS before she was taken to the local hospital. Shortly after arriving, Holly was pronounced dead. The attack was so brutal and so violent that there was nothing that they could do to save her. Police arrived at the Gazzard home and gave them the horrific news and had requested that the family go with them because they feared that they were next. With Asher being out on the loose and the threats to the family, the police wanted to be as cautious as possible. Which is a good thing because police learned at this time that just minutes before Holly was murdered, Asher texted Holly's sister and said, quote, "Now you see what I'm capable of," end quote. 8 hours after Holly's murder, police finally located and arrested Asher after getting an anonymous tip about where he was hiding. Asher was charged with the murder of Holly Gazzard, but much like the Grace Mullane case, Asher couldn't publicly be named until after his court proceedings because in the UK, they use name suppression. If you're not familiar with what that is, pretty much they withhold the name of people who've been accused of a crime. And one of the big reasons is to make sure that the accused can receive a fair trial. So while Asher was finally in custody, Holly's family, friends, and even complete strangers were left to mourn the devastating loss of such a beautiful and sweet soul. People gathered around the salon where Holly was brutally attacked and laid flowers to pay their respects. In June 2014, Asher arrived in the Bristol Crown Court and refused to enter a plea. He was very arrogant and cocky and literally refused to speak. And apparently they tried to get him to enter a plea, whether guilty or not guilty, twice. But both times Asher refused to speak. Finally, the third time in court, he decided that he was going to plead guilty, which this saved Holly's family the heartache of going through an actual trial and having to live through all of the gruesome and tormenting details of her tumultuous relationship and, of course, the details of her murder. At Asher's sentencing, Holly's family were able to give their victim's impact statement, and everyone was completely blown away by Holly's sister, Chloe. There was not a single dry eye in that courtroom when Chloe was finished, and even the judge had to wipe away a tear. When they were finished, the judge handed down the maximum sentence possible for Asher, and he sentenced him to life in prison with a minimum of 24 years. On the one-year anniversary of Holly's murder, her family held a vigil where they unveiled a bench that was dedicated to Holly and placed near the salon where Holly was killed. But Holly's family didn't stop there, and they launched the Holly Gazzard Trust, which is a charity that helps reduce domestic violence. Their biggest goal is to develop programs and tools to help those experiencing domestic abuse and to promote healthy relationships, particularly providing education in schools and colleges. Her family believes that had Holly been educated on the signs of domestic abuse, maybe she would have been able to get out sooner. So they've made it their mission to make resources and education more readily available to young folks. They also launched an app that is available in the UK called Holly Guard. This app is described as being a next-generation smartphone app that provides enhanced levels of protection. This app looks amazing, and I'm sad that this isn't something that is currently offered in the United States. I will have a link for the Holly Gazzard Trust and the app in the description of this episode. I know that I do have a handful of listeners in the UK, so please check out this app if you are one of them. Holly's family and friends feel the tremendous loss of Holly daily. She's been gone nearly 11 years, yet for them, that pain never goes away. Asher Maslin never showed any remorse. He never apologized for his actions, and he remained cocky and smug through it all. Asher has tried to appeal his sentence, but he lost. And when his 24 years is up and he's eligible for parole, I hope that they keep him behind bars for good. He was not only violent to Holly and his ex-girlfriends, but he had also been physically violent with his own mother. A person like that does not deserve any more chances. He tore the Gazzard family apart by taking their beloved Holly, and he deserves to rot in prison. Crimesters, that is all for this week's episode. Make sure that you check the description of this episode to find those links to the Holly Gazzard Trust. They also have a place where you can donate directly, and they have more information about the things that they do and offer. Also, make sure that you are a part of my private Facebook group. You can find it by searching Crime with Holly Podcast Discussion Group. In there, I share all information and pictures pertaining to the cases that I cover, and I also encourage all members to share all things true crime. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram to keep up with some true crime things as well as what I'm doing in life, you can find me over on Instagram at Crimeaholly. And lastly, if you would like more true crime content, you can follow me on TikTok at crimewithholly.podcast. I will be back next week with another new episode for you guys. But until then, always remember to be aware and take care. Bye-bye.